Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good snowy Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm here in the Allstate Skyline studio. I still can't get over that showcase studio. I miss it sometimes. The Allstate Skyline studio. And joining me here in studio is James Swinney. He is the president and business manager for International Union of Operating Engineers Local 150. Jim, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We need to move that microphone there so people can hear you. I thought of wanting to talk to you after what we saw with the incident on North Lakeshore Drive and the bridge issue there. We've talked a lot on this program for years about the need for an infrastructure program in this state. And obviously, you know, people love talking about it. But it's been a decade since we had one.
It's been a decade since we had a capital bill.
Yeah.
But within that capital bill, we didn't have nearly enough money for our infrastructure. And infrastructure in regards to roads and bridges and rail. A capital bill encompasses schools and universities and airports.
Everything. That's
what we need in the state, and we've said this to anyone to listen, is we need a transit act to rebuild our transportation infrastructure, which is critically important to our economy. We are a logistics-based economy now in this part of the country. And you see it if you drive down I-55 and look off and you see warehouses as far as the eye can see. And all those jobs that go.
And you don't have
that.
To go that far. Just look at Bolingbrook, for example, and all of the.
If you pay attention even closer into the city, you're starting to see that now being done closer as we ask, the Amazons of the world want on-time, same-day delivery. They have to build these facilities even closer. All of that relies on infrastructure. Roads and bridges.
And frankly, that's always been our hallmark.
Yes, and it's been our economic advantage. You know, we have seven major Class 1 rail carriers that all intersect here, the only place it happens in the United States.
And, you know, when the state and voters approved the lockbox, the transportation lockbox amendment.
Absolutely.
And people saw that as a good first step to finally, you know, make sure that funds related to transportation are used for transportation purposes.
We were behind that that initiative. We funded the advertisement and the campaign that went on, us and others in the industry, directed by our local. And I can tell you, the focus groups and everything we did led up to that showed that the public did not have an appetite for a gas tax increase when you asked them. But if that money went into a lockbox and couldn't be diverted by politicians, would you be for it then? And the numbers flipped from 30-70 against to 70-34.
So, in essence, is that almost like a first phase?
Because that was the first step that we knew we had to make to get to the point of then getting an administration that would listen to us about infrastructure. And we believe we have that right now.
Because, you know, obviously in the past 4 years with the Rauner administration, I mean, he talked about infrastructure, but there was never any action that went with it. And it was like, well, public-private partnership and that kind of thing, and nothing progressed.
Listen, public-private partnerships have a place in infrastructure investment, but they're going to cherry-pick the very best, which will bring back the best return for their investors. That's not the case with infrastructure. It's no different than the electrification of America. We put poles and electric out to the rural areas of this country where it made no sense economically. That's the same way you need to look at your roads and bridges. Okay, it's the common good. It's for the Commonwealth. We have to make the investment now. I put it the equivalent of, you inherit your grandmother's house, and she gives it to you in beautiful shape. And then over the next 20 years, you put nothing into it. And then finally, when the bathtub falls down into the living room, and you sit there and you go, how did this happen? Well, that's what we've done to our roads and our bridges. And this is just roads and bridges. I don't even want to get into the rest of the infrastructure. Remember, we have water issues in this city and around the country with lead. And not only the lead. We have water mains that we still dig up, our crews in this city, that are water, that are made of wood. I have one in my office, sitting up on my shelf.
It's not like, I appreciate the story about grandma's house and the bathtub falls. How did it happen? The thing is, we know what's happening, and nothing is happening.
You know,
right?
Nothing's happening because the minute people want to talk about a tax increase, it became political. It became political for the last, definitely over the last 4 years. You know, we saw Rauner. You know, and there's a lot of similarities between the rhetoric you heard from Rauner about infrastructure that you hear now from Trump, and nothing is going to happen. I'm very probably critical at the federal level. I don't think we'll see movement until we see administration change. But we can make the change here now in Illinois, and we need to do it immediately. The bridge over I-80 is a great example of a bridge that not only will affect us locally, but will affect the national economy. I-80 is the major east-west road for our commerce across this country. And that bridge, just that one bridge, which was some by IDOT found to be in a condition of intolerability, which is, if you look, I think somewhere on the spectrum of criminal. They admit themselves that they're going to now make a $5 million repair this spring, try to make a $5 million repair on a bridge that needs to be replaced that cost $1 billion. They're going to replace the rockers. They're going to replace 1,000 rockers, which are these devices that it sits on. The bridge collapse in Indiana of I-65 that occurred and caused a three-month closure of I-65, which is the equivalent of our I-80, and a three-hour diversion, and cost 12 lives directly accounted to that diversion. One rocker was bad on that bridge.
We should be scared.
Absolutely scared. This is not fear mongering. This is reality. That bridge on that we're looking at right now, from this seat, I can see it, on Outer Lakeshore Drive, was built in 1986 and wasn't maintained properly. That's how that occurred. And there's other piers that are in just as bad a shape that have been shored up with this lagging. You know, what we're doing is we're basically just, if your deck collapsed and you jacked it up with your floor jack and then you stuffed wood underneath, that's what we're doing right now. We're acting like a third world country.
Band-aids. We're speaking with James Sweeney, President and Business Manager of International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, joined here in the studio by James Sweeney, President and Business Manager of the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150, the powerful IUOE, Local 150. We're talking about capital repair and construction. We're talking about the infrastructure. And as I said, start this. Everybody loves to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about how to pay for it.
Yes, and we've got to get off of that. That fear. I mean, we've created the lockbox. It's a constitutional amendment that passed by a supermajority of Illinoisans. It's in place. That money can only be used now for roads and bridges. The price of a gallon of gas adjusted for inflation, from when I was in high school. Okay, this would be 1974. The price of gas was, I think, a 38 and a half cents a gallon. The adjusted price of that gallon of gas today without taxes is $2.64. We're paying gas is cheaper now than when I was in high school, and we don't want to put 20 cents or 25 cents onto that, which fluctuates some weeks. You'll see it move that much in a week to pay for our roads and our bridges. And the repairs we make to our cars this spring, as this frost comes out of the ground, We have hell to pay as a state.
We're seeing it already.
You haven't seen it. It doesn't happen until that thaw comes, and that's when we're going to be paying the price.
So what are you sensing down in Springfield? Because, again, we hear people talking about it, I think there's a greater realization that they got to do something.
It's definitely going to be bipartisan. Both leadership on the minority side and the majority side know that we need to do this. They've agreed not to make this a partisan issue. It can be done, and it can be done quickly. And it needs to be done quickly because if we passed it next week, we wouldn't see the results for another year, right? And what I mean results is we have to first engineer these projects. Most of the projects that need to be replaced in the states aren't even engineered. We've let IDOT be decimated over a decade.
They're not what used to be known as shovel ready.
There's shovel ready doesn't exist. They're not on the shelves anymore because we haven't made the investment in the engineering portion of this as well.
And then we got to sell bonds and go through
all
that kind of process. But is the, I mean, when you say it's got to be bipartisan and there's that agreement, but is it a gas tax increase? Is it a combination of things?
It's a combination of fees and a gas tax, because we've made the gas tax, right or wrong, the main funder of our roads and bridges. But remember, you know, if you didn't do anything, adjusted for what's occurred with the CAFE regulations, which are the regulations that have now made our cars more fuel efficient.
Right.
We've seen a decrease in revenue, not adjusted for inflation. We've gone from almost $2 billion a year for roads and bridges now to $1.3 billion coming in on the gas tax because of things like electric cars, fuel efficient. You'll look around and you'll see the Ozinga family red and white cement trucks. Look closer down here when you see them. You'll see the tanks on the side.
Right.
They're running on natural gas. They don't pay for the roads and bridges now.
Right. And but, I mean, we also have to be more technology smart here in this era on making that assessment more broad-based.
Sure. I mean, this is a user fee. It's got to be user-based. There are a lot of things. There's vehicle miles traveled. There's being experimented with around the country.
Well, remember, that was a boogeyman,
though. It's a boogeyman because people are afraid that there's going to be a transponder in my
car.
Yeah,
big government is
tracking
you.
Even though we walk around with smartphones in our pocket that tell more about us to strangers than anything you'd ever see in a transponder for vehicle miles traveled.
I mean, I do think there has to be that adjustment because, yeah, we're victims of our own success in some respect.
Absolutely.
With the more miles per gallon, those kinds of things, more fuel efficiency, but there's still that price to pay. Plus, you know, as you said, it's in roads and bridges, obviously, but I mean, you look at the whole transportation segment of Metra and you know, the needs of Metra's capital program. I mean, you know, talk to Kirk Dillard.
Absolutely.
That is it a crucial part of the transportation component? Because that's people that aren't on the roads then.
Well, any of the funding that we raise through the gas tax and these fees, 20% goes to our mass transit, our buses and our rail, which need a major investment as well. When I speak of roads and bridges, I'm also speaking of transportation with buses and rail and the allocation that goes to that from that fund.
Now, you say you think it should happen quickly.
It has to happen. And in the talks we've had with leadership, they understand it, and they're all pushing in the same direction. And I believe the governor believes in this as well. It's a bit of a timing issue when they have the priorities of the things they're trying to get through. But I think this drives it home. Remember, we have 2,300 delinquent bridges in this state that are in failing or poor condition.
I just wonder how quickly it does happen because, you know, obviously, as you said, gas tax, whatever, there's the political game to this where there's the reality that we've been talking about, but then there's the political.
Well, we're going to be making and rolling out, it starts tomorrow, a major campaign on network news and social media on the need for the replacement of our infrastructure and the need for a transit fix. So that being a transit bill that'll pay for our roads and bridges and transit. That rolls out tomorrow. It'll be ourselves and our partners in the industry that are going to try to point out what needs to be done.
I just see this at the end as one of the last things that they do in the General Assembly in the spring session. Because
have faith.
I don't have faith. I've been covering them for more than 30 years. I see. Yeah. What I see is that this becomes where you need you.
Rick, I came to the WGN studios today, and I saw White Sox schedule on the table.
Have
anything
faith.
Can happen.
Have faith. but I see that it gets wrapped into the political game of okay, you're a legislator. I need your vote for something. You vote for this, you get a bridge. You know that game.
Well, it's not even. There's so many bridges. Everybody will get a bridge. They need to be repaired
because
there's no lack of bridges. They got to be fixed.
But I just tend to think that's the part because sure. To me, granted, no legislator, nobody likes to vote for a tax increase. But I've always said when it comes to infrastructure, that's perhaps the easiest to explain to your constituents because you actually have something to show for it. It's not
better bureaucracy. What better time to do it than now? People will be in the next month, 2 months, will be living the reality of the lack of investment over the last 30 years or plus that we have not made in our infrastructure on the road side, not the bridges side, because these roads are going to explode with potholes. They're going to explode with closures. That frost has gone so deep this year. When it comes out, there'll be hell to pay on our roads and bridges.
And that's your transportation forecast from James Sweeney, the president and business manager of the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 150. Mr. Sweeney, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you'll come back again.
Absolutely, anytime. Thank you.